The Fed's out of options. Rate cuts, money printing, balance sheet reversals. They call it policy, but it's really panic. This is in-game economics, where hope replaces discipline and the illusion of control finally breaks. They're not cutting rates because things are strong. They're cutting because the system is cracking. Inflation's eating savings. The labor market's stalling. Confidence in the dollar is fading fast. For decades, the Fed built a house of paper. Now they're striking the match that could burn it all down, leaving you to pay the price. When's the last time you actually held the wealth you've spent your life working for? My friends at Noble Gold Investments have been helping Americans move from paper wealth into real tangible assets. Numbers on a screen can disappear, but physical gold and silver, they've outlasted every crisis in history. Visit NobleGoldInvestments.com and get your free wealth protection kit today. That's NobleGoldInvestments.com for your free wealth protection kit. Discover how simple it is to protect your future.
Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals, including gold, involves risks. Consult with your tax attorney or financial professional before making an investment decision.
Hey y'all, welcome to 90 Day Fiance Ain't No Way, where we discuss all things 90 Day from a melanated perspective. We're your hosts, Jamie
and Camilla.
Now let's get into it.
Hello, good evening. Welcome back to the Ain't No Way podcast.
Ooh,
it's still back. Black History Month, in case anybody forgot. Power to the people. So we met somebody new.
I don't like it.
In the midnight hour, I just feel like you guys are playing.
It's giving very much snobby and all of that. Yeah. And I don't like it.
Do you know what a Jap is? Is that, I feel like that might be a New Yorkian thing.
I know what a Jit is. I don't know what a Jap.
I hope it's not, I mean, it means Jewish American princess. She gives me that vibe. She gives me that vibe. Like, it's not just, like, regular Jewish girl. It's like, no, I come from a little bit of manya. Okay? Yeah. My bat mitzvah turned. Okay? I had rappers. Like, she gave me that vibe.
She does give that vibe. Like, yeah, Lil Wayne was at my party.
Yeah. No, like, your sweet 16, something insane happened. Like,
absolutely.
I had a bat mitzvah and a sweet 16 because I'm like that. Mm-hmm. I don't know what my daddy do. I just know he got money. Whenever I ask,
he give other people money to start businesses.
Okay, venture whoever.
I always hate when people say venture capitalist because okay, yes, but where did the money come from originally? what did you do to get this? Was it inherited? Did you have a business?
What's the starting point of this rainbow? Where to get started at?
It started somewhere,
right?
And that's what I want to know about. I don't care what you're doing now. I want to know where you started at.
Amen, amen. So her name
might tie back to slavery, and generational.
And you know, it often does. It often does. Like that actor, Doctor Strange.
Yeah. Huh.
His name is Benedict Cumberbatch, right? And apparently, when he's British, apparently when he was getting started, one of his aunts is like, yo, might want to change your last name. If we go back a little too far, them Cumberbatches was wilding back in the day. Come to find out, so there's some Cumberbatch people, I want to say, it's either Barbados or the Bahamas, that were like, I'm Veronica Cumberbatch, she black, but if 2 plus 2 gets to 4.
My people own your people.
Okay, and here you go be a Dr. Strange. That is really weird. Like, that's real, you know? So it is important to know where the money is coming from.
If you look close enough, it always goes back.
Amen. It really does. If you squint, it's
good. Honestly, you ain't got to squint too hard. But
right.
We digress. Happy Black History Month once again.
Yeah, okay, it's topical. But yeah, her name is Elise. She's 32. She's from 90 Day
Single
Life.
That's a hard 32.
You thought so? I thought it was like an accurate 32. That was like,
you thought so? No.
A Caucasian one. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. I was like, okay. Well, I feel like it's even a little hard for a Caucasian 32. Maybe it was the makeup.
Yeah. It's heavy.
And the filler.
I think it's also the sun. She on that sun a lot. I don't know if she's sunscreen.
Yeah, she got the leathery-ish skin. Mm-hmm. You're right.
She got that sheen.
That's why it was a little hard.
Yeah, she got that sheen to her. So,
I didn't, she didn't look too old, but don't know about 32, because basically we're 32 if we really look
at it. But yeah, no, that's true. No, that's true. I have to sit with it. You're right. You're right. That's fine.
Rikisha's eyes got big.
Because who are you talking about? And what do you mean by
basically.
No, if you carry, if you round up, if you carry the one, if you, you round anyone. Up,
yeah, if you round up, carry the one, and add a couple.
Right, add a couple months to it.
I feel like I'm going to look the exact same when I'm 32, because I feel like I look the exact same when I was 25. So if that math applies, we're going to look like this and be 32. So
we I mean, it's alarming, but I agree.
So it's closer to 32 than 35. True. I mean, 32 then 25, so.
Yeah. Yeah. Happy birthday. Yay. Yeah. So, it's a strong 32. Strong 32.
Yes.
I don't know. She didn't mention what she does for work, I don't think. She just, she get money.
An heiress.
Yeah, she get money. I really think she's a Jap. Like, I don't know. Like, I got a job, like, I do something, but I don't have to, because I have parents, so. Like I said, she's from Miami. She's on 90 Day Single Life something. The sideshow that Rob was on, being single, she was on that. Hunting for Love. The person that she was with on that show ended up getting back with his ex. So, I mean, she was heartbroken and distraught. But now she's back. Her parents... She's like the only, she considers herself a black sheep because she's like the only single one in her family. She doesn't have no kids. Her one brother that is like, there's a 16 month age gap between them. He's been with the same girl for 8 years. They've been got kids. Her parents have been together for a long periodically time. So they look at her like, when is it going to happen for you, sister? And she's like, I'm working on it. I'm trying. She's been engaged 5 times, said yes 3 times. And just
crazy.
Yeah, I was like, those numbers are a little high, but okay, all right, whatever, she's trying. The last one was so bad, he ended up stealing her identity. Gag me. I was like,
that is
excuse me, that's like a little too criminal for me. Like, you and I are both going to jail, because what do you mean by that?
Absolutely.
He opened up a credit card in her name, racked up $500,000 in debt, $500K, and ran off and had to leave her with it. And her dad was the person who got her out of it because she's a Jap. She got money. She's good. We meet her parents. They're very adorable, older people. And she starts telling them about her new boyfriend, the reason why she's on the show. His name is Josh. He is Australian. He's 39. And he's handsome. He's typically not someone that she would go for.
Because he broke.
He ain't got no money. Her parents don't know that, because her parents would be like, smarten up. Please don't do this. But then she gonna tell her homegirls, yeah, no, he cool. He beautiful and all, but he ain't got no money. And he live with his parents currently, even though he's a lot older than me. And yeah, he ain't got no job. You know, money. But I'm still gonna go and see him. Yeah. That's Elise. Yeah. Welcome to the show.
I actually hate this. I wish they made the episodes shorter when somebody falls off, rather than just trying to. Yeah, please.
Yeah,
it's really okay.
No, it's fine. It's fine.
It's fine.
We don't have to do this. We do not have to do this. We gotta do this at all. Okay. Thank you.
At all.
Yeah, we'll see more. She seems interesting. He described her as being like fiery, which could mean a lot of things, honestly. Like, okay. Yeah. That was them.
That was them. We did not see Rick and Trish. Mm-hmm. Oh, we did not see Javon and Annalyn either.
No. We did see Laura and Lauren Michael, more so.
Yes. I guess we can go with them next, because honestly, it really wasn't much of anything.
Mm-mm.
Where did we start with them? I know we're like coming. Was it just that one scene with her and Michael?
Mm-hmm. I think they came back from somewhere.
I think this is coming back from the boat thing.
Yeah.
So last week we saw that Beercon kind of took Laura on this surprise little boat trip to distract her from the fact that he's a gambler with $50K in debt after he revealed all of that. And obviously she was quite worried about it. So again, he took her on a boat, lovey-dovey, they all good. Everything is good. She's still a little worried about the debt, but she feel like he, and she said, is this the first time she said? No, she said in the confessionals last week that although these things are worrisome, he's really the only, Beercon is the only person who has made her feel wanted or needed or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's special to her, so she loves him, he loves her, and she wants to see this through.
Girl, you need an animal. You are actually somebody that might need emotional, a dog.
Emotional support animal, for sure.
You want to feel needed?
Have a
get
baby.
A puppy.
Well, that too.
Get a cat. Adopt a baby. I don't know.
She can volunteer. Start with fostering and see where that goes.
Girl.
But she wants to feel wanted and needed, and Beercon does that, the first person ever to make her feel that way. So they're back at the apartment, and Beercon and her are doing something. She tells him, like, hey, I need a minute. I need to make some calls back home. Can you step out? And he says, sure, whatever. You thought she was going to call her mama and daddy. She calls Michael. Michael being her best guy friend, that's also secretly in love with her, mm-hmm. and that she loved too.
Mm-hmm.
And she basically gives him the rundown, like, hey, things are going well.
Right.
Beercon is in $50,000 worth of debt, and he got a gambling problem. And Michael's basically like, you need to come home now. Clearly, you're emotionally compromised. He didn't got in your head and between your legs, and you have lost your mind. So you're not seeing the things that you need to see because you have, what do you call them, rose-colored glasses?
Mm-hmm.
And you need to come home. Matter of fact, actually, let me come out there and meet him myself, and I can really help you clear this up because you need somebody level-headed right now because your head is in the clouds, and I can do that for you.
Right, your judgment is wonky.
Yeah, and she was like, wow, for him to be willing to jump on like a flight for me, says a lot. And she even told him, which this really shocked me. She sat up in Michael's face and basically told him that, yeah, Beercon is really the only one who's made me feel wanted and needed. Knowing that this man is in love with you.
He will actually shoot Beercon for you.
No, this
what is... What are we talking about?
About to be a crime of passion.
Like...
Why would you say that to that man? And he was looking like... Hello? That's why he volunteered to come. He has to come prove himself.
Yeah.
They finna go man for man. May the best man win.
Yeah. Oh, you say go to our boat? I'm taking her skydiving.
No, I bought a plane. Private jet.
Mm-hmm. I actually bought this island that we on. How about that? don't play with me.
And I don't have no debt.
Thank you.
I got savings.
Period. I put it in cash. How about that? She's just so all over the place. I thought that
and
was...
also, wait, I'm so sorry.
No.
It also was a lie what she said, because she said I've never felt needed. Granted, we already know that's a lie, but she literally said that right after he kind of said, like, oh, I haven't done XYZ because I haven't been able to go with you. Like, I'm waiting for you to come back. Do that not sound like you need it?
Listen. I she's really surprising me. I wasn't expecting her to be. I just thought that was like real Delulu and like. I'm sorry. Do you not know how to read the room right now? You have someone who is actually would really hurt somebody for you to make you happy, and you like, eh. But he's not European. He not. He don't got a rack of debt. He ain't in his late 20s. Like, you want every. You want everything up in the books. I feel like she's a spicy novel reader. Okay, mm-hmm. And she want everything like in the story.
Didn't she say that at the beginning?
Yeah, yeah, she's okay. Looking for that. She's looking for that vibe. Mm-hmm. Like, no, it's not a part of the full fantasy. Like, I need everything to hit on everything. Like, you whisked away to this country. You see in castles. The maybe that.
Honestly, maybe this is part of it too. You know, there's the storyline of men fighting over you is big in books. Mm-hmm. So
she gives maybe... she gives me the vibe that she might have taken Romeo and Juliet a little too seriously. You know, like no, like the people just don't get it. They hating on us. We star-crossed lovers, girl. Like, please. So. Yeah, she really is caught up in the rapture of love, for real. Just in it. I think she might need some saving. He might be doing it. Even though he is just trying to prove himself and, you know, be the knight in shining armor type vibe.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was pretty much it for them. I think we could go Forrest and Sheena. Okay, Sheena, I like you, but you do be lying. You lying. You don't always make this make sense for real.
No, she lies a lot. like a lot.
So,
and for no reason,
right? We are back, staying at the hotel or whatever the Airbnb situation that Forrest, his family, and Sheena are staying at. We first see Forrest's mom. She was trying candy fruit, cotton fruit, something. Cotton fruit really turned her face. Like, you know, like the warhead picture type of sour. Like, she was like, woo, Chile, what the hell was that? So they're Sheena and Forrest's mom are talking. They're having a little communication, but still, Forrest's mom got her eyes on her. Okay, she don't trust Sheena at all, not even a little bit. Then we see Forrest and Sheena. They're actually going to get some time out of the house by themselves, which is very rare on this whole trip, and just in general, they don't really be doing stuff by themselves too much.
And that's part of the problem.
That is really part of the problem. It's a lot of parent interference, even down to the bedroom, even before we even got here. So lots of parent interference. Disgusting. Nasty and unnecessary, truly. So they're going to this mall, but the mall is inspired by like Venice.
When I say confusion, I was so confused. It was like, what is actually going on? This is in a random place in the Philippines?
Right. But it's like amusement park level humongous. Like really, really, really big, very much themed in. You're in a gondola in Italy. They got the people dressed like the folks in the gondola. There's just an Italian vibe everywhere. Italian, just an Italian energy, I guess. And this is really great for Sheena. She's never been here. She's always wanted to go. And apparently she loves Italian stuff, okay? Sister loves
to. I would hope so.
Right. Right. To go to the Italian theme park, basically. Yeah. They're having a good time. Forrest is really trying to raise her up right now because he's like, you know, I told her I'd come here and be her knight in shining armor. So we should, like, dress up. And, like, we should dress up. So they have, like, their, like, I don't know, like, fair maiden costumes, like Renaissance, not, like, Beyonce Renaissance, but the other Renaissance. It's, like, the actual Renaissance era costumes and vibe. And they're having a good time, and Forrest is like, you know, like, this is really great. I'm so excited. But, you know, I just feel some type of way about how you lied. Like, I still don't really understand that for real. And Sheena was like, yeah, like, no, I really should just be honest. Like, I have to be honest right now. And she then starts talking about how she was in a prior relationship and she just got really, really hurt by it. So it's like she lied to protect herself. I don't really know what that has to do with this conversation at all.
She was saying that when he broke up with her and she thought it was something that she did. So she now feels the need to be perfect. And to seem perfect, she lies.
So this works for Forrest. And he was like, oh my God, Sheena. My little sweet cinnamon apple. I'm so sorry. You're traumatized.
Not my cinnamon apple. They were doing a lot with the pet names. Baby Bear.
Oh, my baby bear. I'm like, girl.
Ain't nobody here the size of a baby bear, okay?
Please. Listen, and I'm not either, and that's okay. We're grown bears. It's not about us. We're the Bernstein Bears around here.
We're not calling each other baby bear. Or anybody else, baby bear. They over there calling baby bear. You're not a baby
bear. Ooh, no. I would.
Adult seasoned bear. Okay.
You an outside bear. You're an outside bear. Okay.
You on your fourth, fifth hibernation size bear.
You know what type of salmon you like. Okay.
not type of salmon.
You know what trees you prefer. Like catching them. Okay. Mm-hmm. You've been outside. Is really what we're saying. Yeah, for whatever reason, this works for Forrest, and he's like, oh my God, like, I totally understand now.
My sheen.
Yeah, my poor little baby, oh my gosh. So they change, they still in the mall, okay? It's still Italian-ish, Italian-esque.
We are still in Italy.
I think they ended up getting into one of the gondolas. And they then he started talking about the chlorine in the water, and I was like, you're all over the place. You're all over the place with it.
But it's a big pool. It's clearly a river for you're please. In Italy. Come on.
What are you talking about? You don't see the Italian man stringing y'all along?
Oh, it was him singing an Italian song.
Just hooting and hollering. I was like,
please.
Forrest?
Please.
Hang Not this right up. Now. Hang please. This up right now. Please. He's really caught up in the moment. They're really having a great time. He's like, you know, there's one thing about me and Sheena. We have the best time when we by ourselves. We don't need none of that distraction, none of that hooting and hollering, all that hoot nanny from the parents. It's best when we quiet it alone. And as a matter of fact, will you marry me?
Mm-hmm.
He proposes. He's had this ring for 6 years.
That's actually crazy.
Right. And he's like, you know what? It's just time. It's time we got to move forward, and I'm ready. I'm ready to take that step. I'm ready to ride that ride. Sheena gagged. Oh my God. I was not expecting this. She was like, what? This is crazy. And she says, yes, obviously. So they're excited. They're in love. They're very, very smitten. Okay. Immediately, Forrest has turned into a grown man. Okay. This whole time, we've been talking about them getting it on. They haven't yet, okay? But now that they're soon to be married, he done put that ring on. She's like, you know what? Now actually, I would like to see the forest for the trees. I'd like to see what that's about. I'd like to see what's going on down there. Let's see what lingerie you guys picked out. So, you know, they're in that type of mood. They're in a good mood. They get back to the part of town that they're staying in with Forrest's parents. They're like, oh my gosh, how was your day? They're like, oh yeah, no, I had a cool day. Well, we had a great day. You wanna know why? I propose. Yes. Aren't you guys excited? Aren't you happy? Yay. Crickets. It was... So the face dropping, you know, Dev don't never say much, but he real extra quiet right now. Okay. Mm-hmm. Nobody's saying anything. And, you know, like JB said, the Forrest's mom immediately gets sarcastic. She's like, oh, I'm ecstatic. This is just the best news ever. You would thought that Sheena would have walked away, at least had some headphones on, couldn't understand English at the very, very least, because she immediately starts saying, how dare you go at a program, Forrest?
No, we literally talked about this.
That was a whole point of me being here and you tightening up and listening to me.
Right. I don't even need to be over here in this country.
Well, what the hell are you on to, boy? You just going to do what you want to do? I didn't say that. That wasn't a part of the program. And now she just gets to do whatever she wants, and she could just say whatever, and she don't got to respond to nobody, don't she? She's just big and bad, huh? And I am. Okay? She said I am bad.
Right.
What's the problem?
What you gonna do about it?
Nana and the boo-boo. I already got the ring. Ha-ha. Okay. So then Forrest is like, okay, you're actually being a stubborn ass. And I don't appreciate you. Gag me. I was like,
I'm a stubborn ass. I never heard of that.
You just call me a donkey. Calling me a donkey would have been like a little more understandable than what you're saying right now. Okay? Because you're being real, real disrespectful. You're just being stubborn. You're hating. You don't understand our relationship, our dynamic. You just don't understand us. Okay? And Sheena got the nerve to nod behind him like, y'all, you don't understand, Mom. Okay? You don't understand our love. And then Mom keeps going on about her needing to prove herself, and now she just can do whatever she wants, and da-da-da-da. And Sheena's like, listen, I'm an adult. He is an adult. Everybody's an adult here. Okay? So if we're in love and we're going to do what in love people do, then we're doing it.
Absolutely.
Period. Leave me alone. And that's what we see. And she looks very hot and flustered, like she need that boiling water from last time. She is sipping some broth and relax.
She need an ice bath now.
Right. She's too hot. But yeah, that was it for them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's getting interesting.
Big Forest, not the little one.
Not the little one. You say, I am engaged now. You can't tell me nothing.
Act accordingly, everybody. Please.
Please.
Thank you so much.
Mm-hmm. Next, let's go. We have Lisa Darian. There was no drama with Lisa and Darian, so we can go them next. This, honestly.
God.
Honestly, I'm so sick of them.
I'm too.
I'm sick of her. I'm sick of him, them, we, us, everybody.
Everyone.
What the heck?
What is that? Stop it. Please.
So, where do we even start with them? I know we're coming off of...
We start with her
the friend.
And her putting on that wig in the most uncomfortable way possible.
So, she didn't put no glue. I do see that. Because you don't need no glue for that man.
She did do tape, though.
She did? I missed that.
Yeah, she had the blue...
Oh my God, that's literally the most insane. That's how you know you don't need to wear wigs. And I'm not a wig girl really either, but I know that much. So she needs to stop. So we see them getting ready. Apparently, there's one final blessing that Daniel needs to get. And this one has to come from the king of the Igbo tribe. So they're getting dressed to go to the king. She's putting on her wig. She's putting on her head wrap. We also discover, like, again, last week we're coming off of the fact that she caught Dan in a lie about another American woman that he was talking to.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, Lisa now believes that everything that person said was a lie because she's jealous of them. Because the lady has blocked her. She didn't think that maybe I'm annoying the lady.
Right.
Maybe she just don't want to talk to me no more. Maybe she's a hater.
She agreed to not deal with stupid people. Maybe.
Yeah. I would understand that, honestly.
Right.
But the lady's jealous. she came from outside the club because Daniel didn't choose her and he chose me.
Please.
Again, that's not where my mind went, but fine. Lisa, believe what you want.
Right. If you say so, sister. Whatever helps you sleep.
Literally, if you say so. So they're dressed, they're on their way to see the king. And they ride through the hood. And I think
she thought she was going to be on Bridgerton show.
No, absolutely. She definitely thought she was going out in the countryside with a big, big castle. Oh, you got to go through gates, gardens, it's horses and carriages, all of that.
Girl.
Dungeon moats. That's what she was expecting.
You are not on House of Dragon. What are you talking about? Honestly, so light.
As much as this was so stupid and Lisa was so stupid, Dan so stupid, I honestly blame production because I know for a fact this was a set they put together.
1,000%.
They found some random man and another man and a lady on the street and said, hey, put this cartoon lion costume on.
Like,
and please say a few things. Because there's
just no way. I wouldn't be surprised if these are the same
people
who was doing the parade for her.
Oh, you know what? I actually need to watch them on
the devices
and compare. Because absolutely, this was a game they were playing. So they get to meet the king. Uncle is there. This is to get another blessing. Daniel said this is such a big deal. Like, if we don't get this blessing, like, I don't know what we're going to do. We can't get married. Blah, blah, blah. Lisa eventually, like, has to go up and kneel before the king. Again, fake. Like you said, improv. It's just so bad that I don't know how production expected us to believe this mess. But she goes up. He asks, oh. No, that was in the preview for next week. He asks, what did he ask her? And she started laughing.
Oh, because he did the ancestral.
Oh, yeah.
Check
the beads on the plate and see he looked at her palms.
And the ancestor said no. So he asked, like, oh, are you, like, gonna be a good wife and take care of him? Because the beads say no.
Oh, yeah, are you gonna take care of him?
Yeah.
And she was nervous.
Right.
So she was laughing.
She said, boy, you so funny.
Basically. And he said, are you laughing in the presence of the king? Get up. Get away from me.
Did I say you could laugh?
I did not. So go away. And she was just saying, oh, no, I'm nervous. And then Daniel had to speak up for her, like, oh, she just has this nervous laugh. Like, she's well-intentioned. She didn't mean to disrespect you. She just do that when she's nervous. So he made her come back up. Please. And then he was like, laugh.
I was like, what in the Coming to America is going on
no,
right here
now? No, literally.
Please.
What the hell?
Miss me with the nonsense.
It was such foolishness. That it makes no sense.
Right.
So after that, he ended up giving the blessing and said that they could get married and they hugged. And then the last thing, well, she hugged Daniel.
Mm-hmm.
And the last thing he said, now that you're a part of us, let me see you dance. You know, this isn't good, but the first thing I thought of when he said that was what Meg Thee Stallion said that Tory Lanez told her before.
Please. Please.
Dance, chick. Yeah. Let me see what you're working with. Shake it fast. Watch yourself. Shake it fast. Show me what you're working with. That's basically what
it's literally
you
coming
her.
To America. I just can't. Just kidding.
Stand on one leg and bark like a dog. Yeah.
And get up out the room, please.
Yeah, that was crazy.
Oh,
but
my God.
Honestly, not interesting at all. Very gimmicky production. Do better. why would we believe that that was a real thing? Or step the budget up, rent a real castle since you're trying to make it real.
Put a couple more ferns out. Give us a little more greenery.
Please, a little bit more razzle dazzle.
Yeah, leave it into the set.
We're not stupid.
If you go, if you go and play around,
it was literally in the It was literally in the corner of a room. They moved the furniture to the side and put the grandiose chair right there.
Absolute foolishness.
But yeah, the next week's episode is gonna be good. Or whenever we see them again, because you know when things get real good, they like to leave people out the next episode. But she's basically gonna tell him that she's been married 5 times and that she's technically still currently married. So interested to see what the heck happened there. But yeah, that was it for them.
Word. I guess I almost forgot about Aviva and Stig. I guess they gotta go in Hot Spring. Lord, okay. I'll try and keep my taking brief here.
Are they the last ones?
No, we didn't talk about Emma. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Aunt Spring is in town. Okay, we already knew that. Aunt Spring brought somebody with her, and everybody was like, "Okay, well, who is this, and why is Aviva talking to this girl?" Like, whatever. The conversation with Aunt Spring and Stig is all about him being hugged up with some girl that the random girl is Aunt Spring's niece on her husband's side, obviously, because she's from the
East. That's pretty clear.
Right. So technically this is Aviva's cousin-in-law. Cousin-in-law. She said Auntie Spring, so this still I'm gonna keep we family. Okay. I don't care what that man doing. We family. So Aviva is talking to her cousin outside, right? Aunt Spring and her ponytail is there interrogating the Stig, saying, "Listen, my niece said that you dealing with her friend. I got proof that you dealing with her friend. What's up? Like, really, what's tea?" He's like, "What are you talking about? What are you talking about? What are you talking about? Who's this?" Pulls up a picture of him, hugged up on the girl. He is giving her a kiss, like a little kiss on the cheek, whatever. The picture.
I do think he lying, but given what Chris Brown has been doing recently in his meet and greets.
This is mild. This is mild. I was like, I don't want to be on his side, but we need stronger evidence. If this is
right,
if this is the case we're building, we need stronger evidence. This isn't substantial. I'm sorry, this ain't gonna hold up in the court of law. Like, I just don't think it's gonna work. He's talking with Aunt Spring. Aunt Spring brings up text messages that he allegedly sent this girl. Saying like I'm always have love for you, da 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 da. So Aunt Spring is like, "Yeah, so what's tea? You're caught. You telling this girl you love her, you hugged up on her. My niece doesn't know about her. You just like my husband."
Mm-hmm.
You're all the same.
No good, okay? Dirty dog.
Right. So she's like, "You're caught. Don't do this to my niece." He's just like, is this lady not a fan? No shade. Like, it's giving fan.
Super
giving
fan. Fan, she went from a fan to a super fan.
Okay. She's moderating like his fan pages type vibe.
Right.
Like,
she run the fan club. Mm-hmm.
He, Aunt Spring invites her niece to kind of verify the relationship. And the niece is saying like, "You know, my friend been saying that they've been going together pretty much. Every time he's in town or they go out of town, whatever, they're together." She asks him, "What were you doing on like February 9th, February 7th in Richardstown or something like that?" He's like, "Oh, I think I was doing a wedding." Wrong. You were with my friend, okay?
Yeah, in a whole different place. You liar. Yeah.
Right, caught again. So yeah, they feel like the jig is up and he either tells Aviva immediately or Aunt Spring is going to say something because she's down here. So what you want to do? And Stig is like, no, I'll do it because I don't really see it the way you guys are about to present it. Like, it never gave that serious. So
he's such a bad liar.
Yeah, he's pretty bad. This whole time they're having this conversation, Aviva is watching them, hating from outside the club, and she literally can't get into this conversation. Like, just watching them all
also,
talk.
I don't appreciate whatever. How she let this happen. Like, I'm not going to let my aunt interrogate my man. Like, I'm fine with my aunt getting a tea and bringing it back to me and letting me address it. But that's like, oh, my homeboy said he like you.
Because no shade, if you feel ready enough to start a family with this man, you should be able to lead this conversation.
Absolutely.
You better wear the ponytail in this relationship, okay? Take it right off of Aunt's spring head and let him know who's in charge.
Maybe she needed a ponytail for some courage. She should ask Aunt Spring to borrow it, like you said.
Yeah, she need a lock in, okay? Don't forget who's in charge around here, all right? They get back to the room, and he starts telling her the situation pretty much about him texting this girl, like, oh, I have a lot of love for you. He didn't necessarily lie there. He was like, this is a fan. Like, please. She ain't but nobody.
Didn't he try to say the text messages were fake?
Oh, I don't remember that. He probably did. I wouldn't put it.
I think he's tried to say something along those lines. Which is like, please, come on now. You're literally going from one lie to the next. You don't know what you want to say.
Yeah. And Aviva is not, she takes it, she's listening, but she's like, okay. I have some things I need to think about and address. We need to get to the bottom of this here situation because I ain't no side. I'm a main dish, okay? So
you gotta act like she didn't know this man in person for 7 days and she doing all this already.
What are you family planning for? What are you literally?
That doesn't make any sense.
Literally, what are you talking about? You're scaring me. Like, I don't know. I don't know what you got going on, but it's making me real nervous, and I'm not a fan of it. Okay. So tighten it up.
But it makes it worse because we already, I won't say no, but heavily suspect that she's already pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
So honestly, this conversation is unimportant.
No,
because you stuck with this man already. Mm-hmm. So shut up.
What do you do? Like what? Okay, nana boo boo. We here now.
Yeah. Although his attempts to woo her in the bedroom that night did not work.
Yeah.
She was like, I'm tired.
You know what? Actually, I'm not collecting. I'm out. I can't. I just went to sleep. this is over. Bye. Yeah. Hang up on you. Even when he was biting his lip, I was like, genuinely, get out of my face. Like you.
No, you, and that has worked.
That's
basically what Beer Con did to Laura several times at this point. It might work, but she's a little too upset right now.
Lord have mercy. Yeah. Yeah, that was it. That was it. All right, Offspring. She should have came around
a while ago.
I mean, honestly, for someone like Aviva, you can't tell her nothing.
And also, Aviva's been down there a week, so when would she have actually come? Like, this is early on in the trip. So, it's fine.
She had to go and take care of some business. Offspring was always probably going to go.
Mm-hmm. Last but not least, we have Emma and Zied. Big development here, but also not a lot to talk about, honestly. Mm-hmm. So, we see at the wrap-up of last week, of course, it's Emma's birthday. She's in the desert. He did not propose to her. And they're sitting down to eat breakfast, dinner, somebody. And she kind of broke the news to him that actually the last time I was here, I got engaged. And we kind of saw, that's what it cut last week. So we're seeing that again.
Mm-hmm.
And Zied is pissed.
Beside himself, okay? Yeah.
He is upset, distraught, all of those kind of words. He is all of that. Mm-hmm. He's basically saying she's a liar, she's a cheater, she's a scam, all of that. Mm-hmm. And literally, how dare she? And he just feels like this is done. Like that, he didn't wait around for no explanation. Honestly, he got up and he went and started packing stuff. And she kind of followed him and was like pushing him and trying to get him to talk. And she was saying like, it doesn't make sense why he's breaking up. Like, are you breaking up with me? And he was like, yeah, I'm done. She was like, he had to be wanting to break up for a while because it doesn't make sense why he would break up now. She just didn't understand why this would cause him to break up with her, because it happened before him. And, well, she said it was before they were together, which is yes, but that man told you he loved you and wanted to marry you the second day into y'all talking. So he thought y'all was together from the moment you responded to his first message.
Right.
So, he is honestly just packing his stuff, and I think he comes out, or this is before he goes in and grabs his stuff, and she kind of did a shots fired kind of thing, and was like, well, do you want to tell everybody that we had sex? Like, you're portraying to be so innocent, but let the people know that. Like, you're not as innocent as you're pretending to be, and this happened before you, blah, blah, blah. He called him a ride, he grabbed his stuff, and he leaves. And before that, she asked, like, what am I supposed to do for the remaining two weeks in Morocco? He told her to call homeboy and figure it out. That's, like, not his problem. He don't want nothing to do with this.
It's above me now. Okay.
It is above him. She's crying. He leaving. And honestly, that was that.
Yeah.
It's a pretty shitty birthday. You went from no hoping to get engaged to single.
In a matter of, it hasn't even been 48 hours.
Not even.
Like, if we think about this on a weekend, they went there on Friday. They had the birthday. Saturday,
Sunday morning.
By Sunday
morning. Actually, it might be Saturday morning.
Yeah,
because
no.
I feel like they had the dinner. They had the dinner the same night they got there.
Yeah. We didn't even make it through the whole weekend.
I don't even know if it's been quite 12 hours at this point.
Yeah.
Maybe like 14, 16. So not even a full day.
I mean, this was kind of bound to happen with them. I feel like they were never really gonna work or make sense for real, because it's just not gonna work. We're a little too dishonest and too, I don't know, just too something.
Yeah, I personally think he overreacted, but I get it. She was lying for a while. You act like you had come to Morocco with your homegirls, and you had came to meet a man while we were talking. Granted,
yeah, he shouldn't feel doing right now.
Yeah, he shouldn't feel. I think he feels like she probably cheated on him because he probably thought they were together at that time. But I would honestly feel weird because it looked like you may have a Moroccan fetish or something.
Right. Am I a kink for you, girl? How dare you?
No, literally.
My culture is not a costume. Yeah, you can't just wear us like this.
It's rough style. Very interesante, those two. But I think that's it. I fear we are never going to see or hear from him again. Right. I wonder if they're going to get him to join the tell-all.
Maybe with a new girlfriend.
Maybe.
he's funny. That's everybody. Oh, yeah, that's everybody. Okay.
That's everybody.
Now, it is time for the Couldn't Be Me segment, where we take one couple or scenario and say that cannot be us.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to pick Michael, actually.
Okay.
Because how dare you tell me you've never felt love like this before? How dare you? I will cut someone for you.
No, I'm about to fly across the world for you, and you say this man love you better than anybody?
You've never felt
that's because he's desperate. Michael said that's part of his scheme. That's his game.
Hello? Blocking.
He is tricking you.
Right.
And you don't see it.
Yeah.
You're, blinded by love.
Yeah, you're ridiculous. You're ridiculous. You'd be doing too much. And I just, no. No, you're not going to play in my face like this. I'm actually a little too in love with you to even hear you do this right now.
No, absolutely.
Psychobabble nonsense. Like, I
literally
can't.
Trying me.
I'm actually about to curse you out if we keep talking. I'm going to hang up. I'll see you in 15 hours. I'm headed to the airport. Like, I just...
Absolutely.
The fact that he even still wants to go and it's, like, caring enough is crazy. So...
He love her for real. For real, for real, for real. With no strings attached.
Lord, have mercy. Yeah, she don't deserve it.
she actually does not. Like... Because the fact that she's even still considering BeerCon is scary to me.
Right.
Because what are you doing? This man is scamming you, basically. Leave him alone. You have 50,000 reasons to not choose him, and you're still going for it.
Pick one. Just pick. As a matter of fact, pick five. You got enough to pick from.
Mm-hmm. $1, $2, $3, $4, $5. Mm-hmm. Crazy. I'm gonna go with. I kind of already explained Aviva. I'm gonna go with Lisa because first of all, cut the camera. Am I being punked? Is this a joke?
The king.
The king is in a random hood in Nigeria. Please.
And maybe you know he might be, but I don't believe you.
I feel like we're using the word king too loosely. It's more like he's the chapter president of this sect of
right
in this neighborhood.
Right. This block.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I feel like when I'm put in very awkward situations, I really laugh at stuff that's not funny at all. But this was funny. But when he told me to stop laughing, I would have cackled for.
I'd actually, yeah, that would have been.
I would have passed out from laughing because what do you mean? Ooh. Don't laugh. Because now it's even funnier.
Yeah.
So yeah, couldn't be me.
I'm actually about to get hysterical.
I would have been beheaded by the king because.
Woo! Yeah, get the guillotine ready. Okay.
Right. You think I'm disrespecting you now? Oh, you wait until you tell me not to laugh.
Ooh wee. Yeah.
Oh, couldn't be me.
I understand that. I understand. Oh gosh. We get to see Rick and Trish again. I actually miss them.
Sound like she's forgiven him a little bit and I really hate that for her.
I find a little peace knowing that they're not together. So
yes, that's true.
You know,
but I hate that because that's also what gives these men, I don't even know what word I'm looking for, but it make them feel like they're the stuff for real when they're not.
Mm-hmm.
It gives them a pass to perform or behave poorly every time because they think it's okay. Oh, she's going to forgive me. Like, I just have to actually go buy her something.
Right.
And then all is
oh,
well.
No, not my wallet. Yeah, your wallet. Hand it over. Okay. Thank you very much.
But yeah.
That's so funny. Don't forget to follow us on Instagram, YouTube, Twitter, TikTok, Blue Sky, at Ain't No Way Pod.
Mm-hmm.
It's still Black History Month, and we'll see you guys next week. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.